I'm Marissa Foy Comerford, and today I'm joined by my Gregory of CA colleagues, Jimmy Moak and Karen Baldwin. We've taken a look at some recent PR and marketing campaigns from several industries to see what has worked. Today, we're going to spotlight a few and share exactly how financial services industry marketers can learn from them, especially important as we head into 2020 and marketers are beginning to implement new plans. Karen and Jimmy, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Marissa. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Marissa.
So one question we always hear from clients is, how can I more effectively use social media? And at this stage, it's really essential that all brands have some sort of social presence and are using it strategically. So Karen, can you talk to us a little bit about how some brands are using social in unique ways?
Sure. So social is obviously a really integral part of the marketing pie, and that will only get more pronounced in 2020. We're seeing companies use social to amplify their brand in alternative ways. One really good example is GoPro and their Instagram channel. They have about 16 million followers on Instagram, and what makes them stand out is their really unique visual, stunning graphics and videos, many of which are submitted by GoPro users. Notably is when they do submit to this community, they have a hashtag, which is hashtag GoPro family member. And the compilation of the Instagram profile is really unique in that it heightens a sense of community and allows GoPro users to have a niche to put their photos and videos up in a really pronounced and graphically inclined way. The takeaway there is that GoPro is much more than just a camera product. They're using their Instagram and their marketing tactic as a way to create a sense of community and change the way that people share their experiences in life. And a takeaway for the advisor community on that front is that it's much more than just a standard static visual. A lot of what we see in this industry is things like lighthouses, sailboats, families at dinner to represent how your retirement's going to go. And I think that what advisors can do is show clients how they'll help and use really interesting graphics and videos and storytelling to put that on their website and social channels to inspire people to want to know more and how and see how the advisor can help them in their life.
When we were thinking about GoPro and talking about GoPro as we were meeting for this podcast, I was thinking about it in like a much more rudimentary way. So the camera and the app, I guess, are the platform, right? And the picture is the product. Mm-hmm. But the users and their photos that they're taking and recording and editing and posting, that's what leads to the experience. And that's why people are coming back, or why they're going to either Instagram or their website or Facebook to see what other users are doing it. And it almost, I mean, she nailed it. It creates this sense of community that really makes you feel as if you belong and you are a part of it. And that's going to keep you to be sticky, more or less. And GoPro is counting.
Any other examples on the social media front?
Well, something near and dear to my heart is our cheeseburgers. So we were also talking about Wendy's and how Wendy's behavior on social media does a lot more than just create laughter and amusement for people that are following Wendy's or following one of their other favorite food providers, whether it be Chick-fil-A or Popeyes. Wendy's has carved out its own voice, and it's really able to stick out from the pack in terms of the snarkiness that it lends to its own voice, or that it commands with its voice online. And I think that, you know, a major takeaway for people to consider here is that it's good to go against the grain. Nobody wants to be a Me Too marketer. And when you're able to inject a little bit of personality, that's going to resonate to whoever your audience might be. So I think that, you know, what Wendy's has accomplished in its own is really remarkable. But now you can see that every other fast food provider or every other product maker, they're all trying to do this as well. And I think the lesson there for marketers is, like, yes, you know, you do want to follow the leader, just like Burger King or McDonald's or Taco Bell has done, just like with Chick-fil-A and the others. It's really important for advisors to not just be staticky, to not just be Me Too. and to inject some of their voice and their human element into their social media campaign.
I think the key there really is to be genuine too. And you can't go wrong being genuine in today's world, because there's so much fake out there, so many fake accounts as we've seen. So for the ability for these advisors to go out there and really showcase who they are as an individual.
Now, there is the compliance hurdle that advisors will have to jump over and clear. But still, I mean, think about what we're talking about here. Whether it's cheeseburgers or managing someone's financial life, look, this, you know, hunger and feeding a family is serious business. Mm-hmm. Preparing for your one and only shot at retirement is serious business. But when it comes to financial services, there is so much inertia because people think it's going to be so hard to organize their financial life, to prepare for retirement, to save during their entire career for their retirement, that it almost seems like a monumental task that I would rather just push off until tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? I think that, you know, bringing it down to something that is fun or could be enjoyable, if you're to break it into little buckets, is something that an advisor could consider. And I think there's a lot to be learned from a contrarian or almost silly behavior that a Wendy's brings to social media, because A, it is different, it will stand out, and hopefully it could get a couple or an individual or an entire family to think a little bit more about their financial services needs.
I think the personality and injecting that in any way that you can, given compliance, is important. In November, I went to the Women's Advisor Summit in New York, and there was one advisor on a panel who was saying that she follows on Facebook all of her clients, and she makes it an intentional effort to, she does a run club every week outside of work. And every week, without fail, she will take a photo of her or some of her teammates on the run club, and she'll post it on Facebook, but purely as a way to almost just show her personality, show her hobbies, and show her clients that she's a real human. I think that while the Wendy's example is an extreme one in the sense of like their funny banter and it makes us laugh, I think that it is such a good example of, and this advisor, it's a great example of just having a personality and being a genuine human that people can connect with and relate to, that will make clients want to work with you, and that's how you stand out.
There's a person behind it. It's not just canned content going out all the time.
I've actually been known to enter into conversations with Wendy's DM, DMing others. And what's funny is you do realize that, like, yes, there is somebody else there, and yeah, they'll sign with their initials, yeah, underneath. Anyway.
So obviously, as we've said, showcasing the human element is key, especially in a client-facing business that advisors are running. So one of the other major themes that we expect to take center stage in 2020 is really showcasing the client experience rather than the product itself. So Jimmy, can you speak a little bit to that?
Oddly enough, another experience tied to food. I don't know how we were, why we planned this to happen this way, or what happened, or why I'm the one covering all of the food-related examples, but actually, in our planning meeting, we had talked about Publix, the supermarket. And if you're from the Northeast, you might not be familiar with Publix. We have ShopRite here and Giant and, of course, you know, the Wegmans and the Whole Foods. But Publix is generally located in the southeast portion of the states. And what I have learned about them via some perusing on YouTube is that they have these killer holiday commercials that really resonate with you on an emotional level. So for instance, it could be a commercial about preparing for Thanksgiving or Father's Day or Christmas. And what you will see is in the 30 to 60 second vignette, we're not watching people walk up and down aisles picking a box of stuffing off the shelves. What you're seeing is a family coming together and working on building their meal together and sharing in the experience of preparing the meal, coming home, sharing gifts, sitting down, and actually having a meal together in order to generate and have fond memories of the time together. Two of them that struck home for me personally was the one about Thanksgiving, where this young doctor was unable to make it home to where he grew up for, I believe it was Thanksgiving. As he was walking home to his apartment, he decided to call his mom one more time just to ask her to relay to everyone how much he missed them. Mm-hmm. And as he's opening the his apartment door, you look inside and everybody had come to celebrate the holiday with him. Mm-hmm. You know, cue tears, grab the Kleenex, all that jazz. But like, it really does hit home. Mm-hmm. The other one is Father's Day. And Father's Day, middle of June, I don't know if listeners are like me, but in the middle of June, I am thinking about getting myself to the beach. Mm-hmm. I'm not always thinking about what I'm going to buy my dad for Father's Day. I know that's not good, but I will admit it. And as a father, I don't even really take it to heart if my daughters aren't thinking about me around Father's Day, because to me, I just think of summer and relaxation. Mm-hmm. So this young boy is surrounded by all of his older siblings who have obviously gone to great lengths to celebrate their dad and all that he has done for them. He admits to his dad that he had forgotten to get anything for Father's Day. So the dad gets up and he goes and he walks to his desk and he pulls out a coupon booklet that the son had made for his father and given to him probably in the second or third grade. And he said, "You had already given me a gift." And then he says, and then they're turning through the coupons, and one says, "Mow the lawn, clean the garage." So then the father quips, "Go ahead and get started on your jobs." So, you know, it tied it back to not only being emotional, but also funny. But what I really think is the major takeaway is that it's memorable, right? And it, again, shows, this is a commercial about a supermarket. And again, we're not even talking about buying a loaf of bread, a carton of eggs, and, you know, some creamer for your coffee. But again, what they were relating to is that how all of their products allow for those moments around a table to happen.
And really, either of those stories could apply to financial services too. It could easily have been selling wealth management services too.
Exactly.
You know, I think that there's a lot to unpack with that, but I think the big takeaway is making sure that there is a clear connection to your clients, and you're thinking about the audience, and it's not it's more thinking about who's viewing what you're putting out there rather than what you're selling.
I mean, well, look at it this way. So I'm a Gen Xer. I probably have 20 plus years left in my career that I need to continue to save for in order to have a retirement worth enjoying, right? If I'm meeting with an advisor across the table from me, I don't want he or she to be talking to me about, we need to allocate into more diversified ETFs. We need to make sure that your life and your disability policies are up to date. Have you met with an attorney to make sure that your estate and your will are all in good place, right? Like, that's me walking in the supermarket, picking stuff off of the shelves. What I want to hear from my advisor is, A, we're going to be able to tackle all of this together. I want empathy from she or he in terms of understanding what my financial life is like now, what I dream it will be, and then all these realities I have to face along the way and how hard they might be to face each step of the way, but that you are going to be there with me to guide me along the, you know, along the journey. Like, that's the most important part of the experience. And I think that if advisors can remember that, that it's not just what preferred stocks do you own now and why, what ETFs do you own and why, do you have a 401k, do you have an IRA, what kind is it? Like, yes, all of that stuff is very important, but I think that that is all secondary to actually connecting with the client or the prospect, hearing them, understanding them, and then figuring out what groceries go in the basket.
Yeah, I think it's about to advisors and financial services companies thinking about what message they want to get across. So is it that you're a good listener? Is it that you can be a partner along the way, kind of Jimmy, as you're saying there? And how can you convey that? So there was an ad campaign within the last year. So I think it was Schwab, where they have the advisor putting their phone in the drawer when the client comes in to meet with them. So it's a small thing, but it's a reality in our world that everyone has their phones out whenever they're talking to someone. But that small act denotes that they are going to be there listening, that they have their full attention. And those types of intangibles are really what's going to help sell the business.
So the next topic, let's talk about something I know nothing about, and that would be females. Seriously though, right now we have a lot of advisors that want to focus in on the female audience. There's a lot of room for opportunity here, and you can sense that because just about everybody in financial services is trying to figure it out. But doing it right is essential. No brand wants to end up in the crosshairs like Peloton's holiday ad. Karen, you know, I know that you've put a lot of thought towards this as well as a lot of work toward it in terms of what companies you're watching and thoughts on how you might be able to execute a plan like this and do it right.
Sure. So this next example is a little bit old, but it's something that just has, when I saw the commercial back in 2010, you know, it hit home then, and it still resonates with me today. And I think it's just really telling of how this company kind of went the extra mile to attract their target audience. But if everyone remembers, it was the 2010 Summer Olympics, and Procter & Gamble came out with their Thank You Mom commercial series, which at the time, of course, you know, whenever it's the Olympics or the Super Bowl or any big event, really the commercial and the ads are focused on the athletes, for example. But what Procter & Gamble did was really turn that theory on its head and essentially thank the moms that got the athletes to the place of success where they were. And they did it for a really genius reason. And what they did on the back end was, you know, studies show that women are the most powerful consumers. The global incomes of women are projected at $18 trillion. Women tend to drive 70 to 80% of all consumer purchasing as well. P&G knows this, and being the largest consumer goods company in the world, they understand how critically important women are to their segment and specifically in purchasing their products. So when the Olympics came around, like we said, it's expected that ads focus on the athletes and tout kind of their capabilities and athletic prowess. And by focusing on the mothers that raise the athletes, P&G knew that they would appeal directly to that massive market and be able to really pull on the heartstrings there, but also grab women's attention as the viewers of this. So the Thank You Mom campaign actually was P&G's most successful global campaign in their 175-year history, which is super telling. Mm-hmm. They had 500 million in global sales, 370 billion Twitter interactions, and 76 billion global media impressions. And at the end of the day, it's because they knew their true audience and they used a really smart marketing tactic to speak directly to them. And I think that the takeaway for advisors and financial professionals in this sense is that, you know, it's no secret that the advisor industry is at a crossroads when it comes to appealing to and retaining and working with women. It's dominated, obviously, by older males, but increasingly the dichotomy there is that women are outliving men and having more wealth and having more control of family finances. So I think both male and female advisors need to prepare their messaging, their brand, and their overall advisory philosophies to attract and retain those female clients.
You make a really good point about knowing the true audience, and I think that's really key here for financial services companies, whether they're targeting women or they're targeting another subset of the population, is taking a step back and wonder and asking yourself, what do they really want to hear from you? Do they want to be spoken to in a certain way? Do they want to hear certain messages? And I think, you know, the Procter & Gamble example is great because it's pulling on the heartstrings, but the Peloton example that you shared, I'm pretty sure the marketers behind that probably thought they were speaking directly to women in a way that they wanted to be directed. And as we've seen from the Twitter backlash on it, maybe it missed the mark a little bit. But I think it's important to think about the audience and ask them directly what they want to hear from you, because that's really going to inform the strategy moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, look, people don't want to hear that 25% or less of all Americans don't have $700 in an emergency fund or whatever the stat might be, mm-hmm. or that only 25 or 30% of boomers have more than $65,000 saved for retirement. Yeah, these figures might be true, but it's probably not the best way to approach deepening a relationship with a prospect or a client. They want to know that their retirement is going to be possible, that it's going to be okay, that we can tackle all of this together. You know, I did also realize that it was not necessarily used for the Olympics discussion, and I'm guessing that that's because you know that I am not athletic, I do not like to exercise, and I'm not very strong. So is that why I was sent towards everything related to food shopping and Wendy's?
I mean, if the shoe fits.
But seriously, I would say that you hit the nail on the head in terms of takeaways. It's got to be know your audience. Mm. It's got to be reach out and talk to them, not at them. Find different ways, like Wendy's does on Twitter, to do those two things. And then when you come across success, whether it's on the grand scale like P&G was able to achieve, or even smaller bite-sized pieces of success, gauge why that worked. Rinse, repeat.
I think we have a lot of really great takeaways here for the financial services marketing community. For all of those out there, if you have any additional questions or just want to see what other resources we have available, there's a ton of information on our website, financialservicesmarketing.com. Karen and Jimmy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marissa.